aside planting for curb appeal, there could be other motivations behind planting. You're gardening for vegetables or some roses just for color or family tradition. But how about planting to keep mosquitoes away?
I'll tell you what,
we sure have had a very aggressive mosquito season.
You can't buy a citronella candle. And, you know, ran into you at Paul's Hardware the other day. I was buying some stuff, and I was asking the customers now know what day they get their shipments of off and citronella candles and oils and all of that.
It's been an aggressive season for mosquitoes.
Yeah, they're out there.
A couple weeks ago, Harper's on their weekly newsletter listed plants you can plant to deter. On their rosemary, that's a nice smell, mm-hmm. and very hardy. We hardly even take care of that thing, and it's a weed.
Yeah. It's a good landscape shrub as well as a culinary herb as well as a pest repellent.
Catnip? I wasn't familiar with that one.
Catnip is in the mint family. It looks like a mint. People that have cats like it because cats are attracted to it, but it does, you know, it has a menthol kind of a minty odor to it.
And a lot of these are herbs, I guess is what you'd say.
Yep.
Basil, lemon thyme.
Lemongrass.
Lavender. And what's lemongrass?
Lemongrass is it's a grass, but it has a lemon. They use it. A lot of people that do Thai or Oriental cooking use lemongrass for a lemon flavoring in their foods. So, and it's a fairly attractive grassy plant.
So if you've had that mosquito attack and you need another reason to plant something, there's...
In fact, a lot of people will use, getting back to curb appeal in pots, they'll use like a spike or a plant in the center of a pot for height and texture. Lemongrass would make a great center plant for a pot of geraniums or something planted around it.
And you can get that whole list at Harper's website, I'm assuming.
You bet.
Excellent. And that's Harper's Nurseries with an S.
HarpersNurseries.com.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the conversation with Mike in Turkey Creek at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Mike, we appreciate you hanging on. You had some desert willow you started from seed, and it sounds like they're in pots and you're looking to plant them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. The desert willows grow in the creek along the creek bank,
right.
Their parent area, and we have a road that parallels about 100 yards back, but the ground is assorted reddish, you know, alluvial hard, so we jackhammer holes. Put it in the ground. I'm just curious. And things bust out here, if I remember right, about early April, mid-April, trees.
Well, you could plant them any time. In fact, it wouldn't hurt to get them in the ground this winter. Take advantage of some winter moisture, and they'll just be dormant. We plant trees in dormant stage all the time, as far as fruit trees especially, you know, peaches and apricots and plums. In fact, I've got some fruit trees that are planted over in John Long Canyon at Larry Phillips's place. Do you know Larry?
Yeah, he was on the backhoe with his son the other day, heading up to his ranch up there in Rock Creek. We talked for quite a while on the road there. So
there you go.
Yeah, interesting.
So, plant them anytime you want now, just kind of in places like you see them. They thrive.
Jim to come and dig you a hole with that backhoe.
Get that backhoe over there.
That's the one tool I do not have.
But,
okay, well, thank you, Jim. Let me ask you, when you say winter, so you're talking maybe wait till about December when the leaves drop off the tree after December?
That'd be, you know, if you're trying to time it so that maybe you don't have to do a lot of watering, I assume.
We'll have a drip out there.
Oh, you're going to run drip to them, then do them anytime you want. Get them in the ground now. Heck.
Okay.
Why wait?
All right, well, hey, thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Faster in the ground, faster it grows.
You betcha.
Let's go to Doug, bring him into the conversation, talking lawns. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, hey, I talked to you guys like 2 years ago, and I've got an area, I got a very small lawn, and I got an area, I put sod down in the one spot that I got a few holes, and I cannot get anything to grow. It's like I'm waiting for the homeowners association to take me to jail because my lawn looks awful.
When you say how small, give me an idea.
It looks like a big kidney bean. I got to say it's maybe 20 feet long by about 10 feet wide. And I got like two spots that are like maybe 3 feet in diameter that are just soil. That's the soil. It's like I put the Roundup over there, which I didn't.
Okay. Have you taken a chunk of this soil into a nursery and had them look at it?
Never.
Okay. That'd be the next step, I think, is dig down, you know, get, and here's what I tell people to do. Take it on the edge. So get half of this shovel. I want you to take, don't take a little 3-inch square. Get a regular digging shovel, and so make it square. So what is that, 8 or 10 inches deep,
yeah.
And get half of it in the good lawn and half of it in the dead spot, and take it immediately to the local nursery and have them look at the roots, the stems. There's it may be very simple. You could have something like pearl scale, you know, something like that going on, and they can just look at that. That's the only way we're going to get this diagnosed and solved now, is to actually have a visual inspection. And then the next step might be something like a soil test or something. There's perhaps a problem going on there.
You usually find them in the backyard, but occasionally it could be the front. If this is a new development within, you know, that 2 years that he's been digging, a lot of times you can find construction trash piles. The painters cleaned their paint out, yeah, right there. The concrete truck emptied its,
got it
the whole, last bit of its chute.
I've found whole bags of concrete. oh, no
it
wonder.
It came from the dirt. Let's put it back there.
Oh, no wonder.
I'll just leave this here. It's cheaper than hauling it somewhere else. Yeah. Just a bag. 1-888-767-4348. Doug, let us know what you find on that soil, and we'll take it to the next step. Ann in Ahwatukee, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a 22-year-old Canary Island date palm. It's about 30 feet high. It's a gorgeous tree. It's in my front yard, talking about curb appeal. And currently in the front yard, I have a lot of grass. Getting kind of old, getting kind of hard to reseed and everything else and all the sprinkler repairs. So I've brought a couple places out to give me quotes on artificial turf.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a few of them are telling me that if I do artificial turf, I'm going to kill off my Canary Island date palm because it's getting its water source from the sprinklers. A couple other people from artificial turf places are telling me that, no, just we can supply it with water and you'll be fine. Who should I believe?
Well, certainly you could run a drip system or convert some irrigation and get water to that tree, even if it's got artificial turf around it. The one thing you want to do is make sure you know where that line is if there ever is a leak. And the one problem with running irrigation under artificial turf is if you ever have to dig it up to repair something, you know, it can be a little expensive replacing, you know, pulling the artificial turf back, repairing that, recompacting it. It's not the end of the world if it's just one drip line to one tree. That's not that big a deal. So I would just make sure you leave a little bit of space. Be a little more generous than most people typically are when they leave a little room around the palm tree or around any tree in artificial turf. But there's plenty of instances where people have left trees and even trees that are more needy for water than a Canary Island date palm. They don't need very much water.
And a lot of times people will put the artificial grass under a tree because regular grass won't grow in the shade.
Yeah, absolutely. So and it's permeable. I mean, water will go through the artificial turf as well. So any rainfall or any natural water, or if you even wanted to hand water down through it, you can do that.
And the product we like the best is Easy Turf. After shopping the different artificial turfs that are available out there, Easy Turf, and their phone number is 623-207-7105. You can find them at rosieonthehouse.com under the Phoenix Area Directory under Artificial Turf.
You can also find them in Casa Grande and Tucson, and they cover statewide.
Well,
the Phoenix number. But
they cover how many of the NFL fields across the country?
It's like 20
of them. Yeah, 23
like
of
that.
Them. Yeah.
I don't know how many NFL teams there are total. But
it's a great product. Of all the artificial turfs we've seen, it's the one we like the best.
Yeah, and what they will do, Ann, is they're not going to take out that sprinkler system. They'll leave it there because they're going to tell you, we get haboobs, we get dust. Occasionally, even with artificial turf, you're going to turn those sprinklers on just to clean.
Good point.
The buildup on that grass. So they will leave all that stuff in place. Let's bring Jack into the conversation, talking oak trees. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
All right, I live in Sandler, and I have a beautiful live oak tree in my front yard. We moved into the house about 10 and a half years ago, and it was a pretty new tree at that point, so it's grown, and it's gorgeous. It's in a patch of grass in the front yard that I have Bermuda during the summer and overseed during the winter. And so that's always looking nice. My problem is, there are probably close to 100 or 150, looks like little live oak trees that are growing underneath of it.
Right, yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get, I mean, I tried pulling those things up the other day. I mean, some of these roots are, they're probably close to a half inch diameter roots that are in the ground now that, I mean, I can't even pull out. And I'm trying to, how do I get rid of the little trees without killing my grass and my big tree?
We may not be able to save the grass for at least for one season.
Other than pulling them, you know, then you're talking about using, you know, herbicide on them, which is going to damage the grass. So really, realistically, I know it's not a fun thing to do, but probably trying to pull them up, maybe doing that, especially at the two transition times when you're getting ready to overseed for the winter grass, get in there and, you know, dig and pull and get them all cleaned up, and then maybe again in the spring if they've sprouted some. Then if you can catch them as they're very, very little and sprouting and just take something and dab it on there like a broadleaf weed killer, you could probably keep them burned down, you know, as a very young thing. But, boy, do it before they make it through the grass.